You are about to listen to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. The Snow Nose Gardening Show is the longest running gardening show in America. The Snows will talk gardening, answer your questions, and have a lot of fun along the way. Make sure you visit them online at www.snownose.com or go by in person, 1875 Avon Street. Their phone number, 434-295-2159.
Good morning, gardeners, and welcome to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We are the longest continuously running garden show in the world, and we are the most listened to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia, live each and every morning from the studios of WINA. I'm Corbin Snow.
And I'm Norm Carlson.
And we're here for the next hour to take your gardening questions and answer your phone calls. If you'd like to join our show, as always, you can reach us at 977-1070. We're here to answer any gardening questions that you might have, anything pertaining to plants, trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, lawns, houseplants, pests, rodents, insects, diseases, weeds, or something just looks funny out there in the garden or in your home. Give us a call. We do not handle domestic problems in the home, just plant problems. that would be the show before us.
No, yeah. I don't want to get involved in those.
Again, our number 977-1070. Would love for you to call in and ask us one of your gardening questions this morning. Our phone lines are wide open. Plenty of room and space to put you on the air and answer your question right away. It's another, what I would consider a beautiful day for January. We're going to be...
February.
Holy cow, when did that happen?
I know.
For February, it is February 5th.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, got that right. Things are starting to click a little bit this morning. But, looking at the foreseeable 10 days or so, we are being spoiled for February. Things are just really warm and nice.
I don't know, late next week looks like it's going to be a little chilly.
Yeah, it switches over mid to late week.
Yeah.
But, for the
next
part of the week, right in the 50s.
Nice.
So, good weather to get out and play in the dirt if you have a project. Great time to, if you're looking for an indoor project, great time to start your seeds, get those going. Any annuals that you might want to start, herbs, vegetables, now is the time to really jump on that winter project.
We're talking about this last night when I was doing the TV spot that I do each week, but it's 6 weeks from now we'll be planting early vegetables in the garden. So that can change a little bit depending on how the season plays out weather wise and everything. But figure mid to late March you're getting your potatoes and peas and cauliflower and broccoli and lettuce and some of your greens, your collards and kale and all those kinds of things are going in 6 weeks.
Doesn't that just put a big smile on your face?
It does.
And what I love to think of, in 3.5 weeks, it's really the forsythia will be blooming soon in just a few short weeks. Mm-hmm. It'll be time to put down, start mulching. It'll be time to start putting out some spring annuals and, it's just a wonderful feeling to know you can check off your list another winter that's gone by.
And, I know.
and we've made it to spring again. The days are getting longer, warmer temperatures, things starting to bloom. And there is nothing more spectacular. I don't care how many years you've lived to see it, but when the leaves, when the trees start to get buds on them, when the leaves start to come out and those flowers start to come out, there's just nothing more inspirational, in my opinion, whether you be a gardener or whether you're just going through this crazy world, than to experience spring and what it brings, the renewal that it brings to each of our lives every year. It's just my favorite thing in the whole wide world, Norman.
Especially around, in this area with all the azaleas and the dogwoods and everything that come into flower, the forsythias, the ornamental pears. It's just, seeing that progression week to week through the end of March and the month of April into May is just spectacular in this area. We can't live in a better place to view spring.
And the best thing about it, it's like a different tree or shrub, like every week.
Right.
Oh, the Bradford pears are finally blooming. Oh, did you see, have you seen the dogwoods? What about the crab apples? Oh, look at the cherries.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, I can't wait.
And, you know, you start seeing, the, you know, the early azaleas and then the mid-season azaleas and the late-season azaleas and the rhododendrons and you know, all preceded by the pierres. And then you get the lilacs kicking in and the forsythias are in bloom. And it's just one big progression, one thing after another. And it's a great thing to think about as you're planning out your garden, too, is, you know, what can I incorporate that's going to give me that progression of bloom so that it's not everything hitting all at
right,
once,
right?
You know, which is great. I mean, it's fantastic to have a big flush all at one time and see. You know, it's spectacular. But think about incorporating things that bloom in early, you know, middle to late March, and then something that's going to kick in a couple of weeks or a month after that, and then a few weeks after that, and a few weeks after that, so that you've got something going all through the season. And it's really easy to do in this area with the plant palette that we have available to us. It's easy to have something going from real early with the quince and the forsythias and the hellebores.
Really, March till, you know, November, December, you can have something in bloom, blooming, starting to bloom almost year round.
That's right.
You know, incorporate some winter camellias, and you know, you can get 10, 11 months out of the year.
That's
with
right.
Something in bloom in your garden, in yep. your landscape. But it takes, like Norman said, it takes some planning, takes someone who knows their plants, and that is a free consultation that we do, a free service that we do provide, is a landscape consultation where one of our landscape designers can come out and give you ideas and suggestions and things that, you know, one of the biggest trends right now in gardening, and this isn't going to come as a real shock, but it's blooming, flowering shrubs and plants.
That's right.
And they're talking about the evergreens and conifers are kind of, you know, there's still a functioning use for them, but they're being used a lot less.
They're not as, for lack of a better word, they're not as sexy in the garden as
right.
as something that's going to bloom and throw off color and everything. They're just not seen as being exciting and having that. They are still absolutely critical for the backbone and the structure of the garden, and that's like the canvas.
Right.
And if you don't have the canvas, all of the paint that you put out there is just going to fall on the floor, or it's never going to leave the brush. So you've got to have those evergreens and the conifers and the green plants to provide that canvas to put the color on. But that is by far and away where it's at in breeding, in new plant development. And what you're going to see as what's promoted and what's available, what's going to be taking up floor space in nurseries and everything is going to be blooming plants. You're going to see much less emphasis on the green, which I don't like that trend particularly. The blooming plants are great, but there is such a tremendous amount of form and function that's done with just, you know, with non-blooming plants, and a tremendous amount of color that you can get to the garden by mixing those different plants in. There's lots of different shades of green. Next time you're in a home improvement store and in the paint section, look at green on the wall. There's a huge, huge assortment of greens and lots of different shades of green that you can get in the garden, and by mixing them and using those creatively, you can get effects that don't just last for the 3 weeks that an azalea is in bloom. They last all year long.
Let's go to the phone lines. We'll continue this conversation. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hello. I just want to let you know, you forgot the red bud among the dogwood trees. It's a beautiful show.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite trees. You get that kind of pinky,
yeah,
lavendery.
Oh, it just makes a beautiful landscape.
And one of the great things about red buds is, you know, not only can you enjoy, the trees have been planted in landscapes, but, you know, they grow, they're a native tree, they grow wild, you know, in the woods, and they're just beautiful to drive down some of the interstates and roadways, and, you know, some
right.
of the country roads, and look to your left and look
the
to your right.
The country roads is what has a lot of them.
What's that?
The country roads.
Oh, absolutely. you know, and that's another thing we're really fortunate to have are trees like the redbuds that grow wild out in the forest and the dogwoods and things like that. That just makes getting on some of those country roads spectacular in the early spring.
Almost takes your breath away when you go around the corner. You see a whole hill of them. It's just beautiful.
It is. Thank you. Yeah, that's a great phone call.
I already have my sugar peas in. It isn't going to hurt them because I like for it to get it in so that it can snow on them because the nitrogen from the melting snow makes them bear better. I get a better pea crop.
That's true.
So I already have my snow peas in. I did
That's great. That's great.
Okay. Make sure. Thanks. I just thought I'd let you know.
Thanks. I appreciate you calling. That's great.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye. You have a great day.
Yeah, I love going down, you know, I live down the southern part of the county, go down 20 south, and in the spring there's a section along through there that is just, it's like Redbud Alley. There's just tons of them on either side of the road, and they come into bloom, and it's just unbelievable, the color and everything, and then watching those as they kind of transition into they start to fade, and then right on their heels, and depending on the season, it can actually overlap by several days. You see the dogwoods start to come, and then the dogwoods kind of fill in, and they take over as the redbuds finally fade out. And it's just
you're making me trunky for spring, man.
I know. It's great.
We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We'll be right back. And good morning, and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. I'm Corbin Snow.
I'm Norm Carlson.
We're here for the next 15 minutes before the news break to take your gardening questions and answer your phone calls. If you'd like to join the show, our number is 977-1070. We thank you for joining us each and every week and making us the number one listen to talk radio show in Central Virginia. As always, you can follow us and join us on Facebook and Twitter. At Facebook, we're at www.facebook.com/Snow's Garden Center. And you can follow us on Twitter. You can also go to our website where you can click on our homepage on the WINA Snow Nose button and be connected to a series of all of our podcasts, of our past shows. And there are quite a few of past shows on there. We've been doing this show since 1950. So we've got a couple shows under our belts. And they're all, they're not all there. I guess the whole podcasting technology, internet, I don't think was around in the 1950s.
No, not quite.
Although we could probably dig up some old 8-tracks and...
back then it'd be the big spool-to-reel tape. Yeah.
Technology has
changed a little
bit. Just a little bit. If you'd like to join the show, again, our number's 977-1070. Thought we'd, in our next little segment, thought we'd just hit a quick rundown of just a garden hit list, if you will, of things you can be doing in the garden for the month of February and kind of things that you can take advantage of doing this time of year that you really can't during other times and sections of the year. And one of that is, number one, deciduous shrubs. It's a great time to prune trees and shrubs. And also, it's a great time to do some transplanting in the garden while the shrubs are dormant. You can take advantage of transplanting things in the garden this time of year.
Right. When the plants are just kind of hanging out, they're not really doing a lot of growing or anything, not using a lot of water and things like that, it's a great time to if you've got some things that need to be shuffled around, excuse me, a little bit, you can just pop them out of the ground, stick them into their new home. And if you do it right, they barely know they've been moved, and it's great. They come roaring back in the spring and just do phenomenally well. One of the other things that is great to do this time of year, especially we've got some warmer temperatures these next few days, is if you've had any insect problems like lace bug or mites or things like that, scale insects. This is an excellent, excellent time to get out there, hit them with some dormant oil spray, some pest fighter oil, spray the plants real thoroughly, you know, cover the top and bottom surfaces of the leaves, the stems, the branches, everything, And you can really go a long way toward eliminating any of those pest problems come spring and summer. They can be, particularly mites and scale insects, can be very difficult to deal with during the growing season. But hitting them now with a good dormant oil spray, and it's very easy to do this time of year.
You can also use it on your fruit trees.
Right.
And do it now. You know, it's really important that you get that done during the month of February.
Right. While you know, while we've got these nice warm temperatures, and you know, we're going to have weather up into the 50s, and halfway sunny, but not, you know, not real hot, and baking sun, you can get out there and spray these plants down with it's a relatively environmentally friendly way to do it. You're not introducing a lot of strong chemicals into the garden. You can eliminate a lot of these pest problems, or at least reduce the severity of them very easily in an environmentally friendly way, and get much better results than what you would get by trying to fight them in season when, you know, when all the leaves are on there and things are really going crazy. Plus, it's time, you know, you got a little bit more free time to get out there. You can concentrate on those things a little bit more now.
Let's go back to the garden hotline, line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm planning on redoing a little garden area. I mean, kind of major.
Yeah.
And I have some really old irises and some plants that my mother and grandmother passed down to me. Can I remove those now before I start the renovation?
Yeah, you can go ahead and I would try to time it so that you're able to complete as much of the project kind of, you know, as seamlessly as possible, so that any of those plants that are, you know, that you're taking up and then putting back when you get finished with the renovation aren't up out of the soil for very long. You want to minimize the amount of time that they're sitting out, especially if we're getting into some real cold weather again right away.
Okay. If I decide to dig these iris bulbs up and et cetera, can I store them somewhere until the renovation is done and then replant?
Irises and things like that, you would probably be okay. Again, you don't want to have them up, you know, sitting on the surface of the ground, or, you know, even just, you know, healed into mulch or someplace, something like that, if we're going to have temperatures that are really, really cold and are that way for a while.
I'm talking about early spring.
Yeah, early spring, you know, once we get past and we're not having to worry about temperatures dropping back down into the teens and, you know, even the low 20s or colder, then, yeah, you can just put them up into a kind of a sheltered spot with some mulch around them and store them for a week or two without any problem at all. Again, you want to get them into the ground as quick as you can. But, you know, for a week or two, they'd be fine up out of the ground like that.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I enjoy your program.
Thank you for listening. Have a great day. I got about 30 seconds before the break. Just two more little things to mention. Now's a great time. If you haven't turned your compost pile in a few weeks or months, I would go ahead. You know, now's a great time to give it a little turn. Give a little water, really get it breaking down and composting.
Get some air in there.
Get some
oxygen in there. It makes a big difference in how rapidly it composts, and also the quality of the product that you get.
And the last little tip for the month of February, it's not too early to start checking your tools, your mowers, your gardening equipment. If it's something that you need to take to a mechanic to have serviced, again, you beat the rush. You take your mower in to have it serviced, get your blades sharpened. You take it in February, the mechanics will be happy to see you, and you won't have to wait for weeks if you wait another month. You know, if you hold off till March or April to take your equipment in, I can guarantee you you'll be waiting for months you'll be waiting for weeks instead of a few short days.
Right. We've got, you know, good relationships with a lot of the repair shops around town that, you know, that help us out and everything. And they love it when people come in to get their equipment serviced now. And, you know, they've got the time to really go over it well and do a good job on it. And like you say, you get it back right away instead of, you know, as soon as grass starts growing, everybody's, oh, the mower won't start. And then, you know, they're swamped and buried and can't, almost can't handle the workload just because everybody's coming in all at the same time. So anything like that that you can get done now, it's going to be a benefit to take advantage of that kind of downtime.
We've got to take a break for the CBS News. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. I'm the Minister of Mulch, Corbin Snow. Got my compañero, my compadre, Norman Carlson, the Doctor of Dirt, sitting in the chair across from me. We're here for the next half an hour to take your gardening questions and make you laugh a little bit along the way. Right, Glenn? As Glenn buries his head in the microphone and erupts into laughter. I was telling jokes. They came in before we started the show and said we had reached the anniversary. I guess it was my... Was it Dwayne or was it Leroy who told that joke originally on the air?
It was probably Leroy.
It was probably Leroy. So it was probably going back to, you know, back to the 1950s, 1960s. And I said, well, if we're coming up on the anniversary, maybe, you know, we should tell this joke again on the air. And I had a few people in the studio say, well, you know, you might offend some people. So the jury's still out whether I should tell that joke. We should tell it. I mean, for the anniversary of Grant... It's funny, isn't it? Glenn's giving me the approval to tell the joke. And it kind of has a gardening gardening theme, kind of, if you will. We talk about moles all the time and the damage they can do in the garden. In fact, that was one of the tips I was going to give listeners. Now's a great time to put down some of the mole products in the yard. I've got to put something down to get the grubs, to prevent grubs from coming. They just tore up my lawn last year. And it's just one of those things, it's better to do it when things are slow and easy to remember than waiting much further in the year. Should I tell the joke? I'll let Norman be. Norman's like, I don't want my hands on this. It's not that bad.
No,
okay, so
it's not.
So there's three moles, right? And they're tunneling through the earth. And the first mole, as he's tunneling his little claws, and he puts his nose up in the air and he says... Do you smell that? I smell hot butter. Mmm. And the second mole says, ah, I smell that. I smell that too, but I smell pancakes. And the third mole in the back of the pack starts putting his nose up in the air and smelling around. He says, I smell molasses. And that's the joke. All right, join us on the show at 977-1070. Your gardening questions can replace our gardening humor and jokes. How's that? That was definitely a Leroy joke. That was yes. a grandpa joke, one of my grandfather who started the show in 1950. And we are in our, this is number 3,177th show. So we've eclipsed the 3,000 mark, and we're heading strong to... 4,000 and beyond.
That's right.
How long would we have to live to reach the 5,000 show? Could we make it, Norman?
Norman. I don't know.
Hey, Norman, what do you think over there? We got a caller on line one.
Yeah, it might be the geriatric hour by that point.
Well, hopefully the next generation of... little snowman will be around and carry the show well into the that 5,000 mark.
That's
there
right.
We go. I'm sure when my grandfather started, he had no idea it would last this long. But we are still going strong. At least we say that. The listeners may not agree. If you'd like to join the show, our number is 977-1070. The phone lines are wide open. If you have anything going on in the garden, anything that looks funny out there, anything with your plants, trees, shrubs, you need gardening advice, any thoughts or questions or concerns about perennials, annuals, lawns, houseplants, pests, rodents, insects, anything, just give us a call, 977-1070. Just another quick little gardening tip for the month of February. Don't forget about the little four-legged friends out there that like to eat and munch and crunch on your little garden buffet, if you will, out in the garden this time of year. It's a great opportunity, or not a great opportunity, it's a necessity to be putting down some of the Deer Away products, things like Deer Foot Fortress, Deer Away, Liquid Fence.
Deer Scram.
Deer Scram. There's lots of really, really good products that work, and they are very effective. The most crucial thing is that you apply it and put it down regularly, especially with the rain that we've had recently. Remember, it's important to reapply every 6 to 8 weeks
right.
with the products.
You know, if we have a lot of heavy rain and things like that, maybe a little bit more often than that. And the second most critical thing is that you rotate those products out every once in a while. In other words, if you've been using Deer Scram for the last 6 months, switch over
Flip
to Liquid Fence.
Yeah.
If you've been using Liquid Fence, switch over to the Deer Scram or the Deer Fortress or Deer Away. But just rotate those things out. Otherwise, the deer kind of get used to it.
They all have slightly different scents and tastes and things that'll
it's kind of
keep them off their...
Yeah, you see those commercials for the plug-in air freshener things that you can stick in an outlet and they put out
that's
the scents
into
the air. And you know they talk about the kind that has two in there that kind of alternates back and forth so you don't lose... it doesn't quit working.
Right.
But it's not that it quits working. It's that you get used to it. You don't smell it anymore. And the deer are the same way. So, but if you bring in something new every so often, they don't, it keeps them off balance. It keeps them guessing. That it keeps something offensive to them and keeps them moving on down to the neighbors.
If you'd like to join the show, our number is 977-1070. The phone lines are all beat red. Let's go to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, and, thank you for calling.
I enjoy your show tremendously. I need to ask a question about daffodils. I'm a little behind schedule. Is there any way I can plant them now and have them come up in the spring? And yeah. Once they have stopped blooming, will they be all right? Will they multiply next year? Thank you.
Thank you. We'll answer your question.
Yeah, if you have them already and just haven't gotten them in the ground, go ahead and get them in.
All right.
And they may not bloom real well this year,
yes.
But fertilize them well.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you get them planted in some good soil.
Yes.
And they will continue. One of the nice things about daffodils is they do naturalize, which means they will, once you plant them, they will continue to grow and mature and spread and just take up residence and call your garden home and mm-hmm. we'll be happy to be there for years. So even if they don't do everything that you'd want them to this year, with good care, they'll come back even stronger for next year and for years to come. But if you don't plant them now, if you try to hold them over or something, they definitely
forget about it.
Yeah, you might as well throw them away because they definitely will not be any good once we get past into the warm weather. So go ahead and get them in the ground as soon as you can. And like I say, they may not do everything you want them to do this year. But for years down the line, they'll be fine.
And that's one of the things, if you haven't purchased your spring bulbs, you can take advantage of really getting some really deep discounts. But again, timing is very important. I would not wait much longer than...
And that's if you can still find
them.
If you can
still find them, yeah.
They're really hard to find at this point because everybody's kind of out of them. No, we're out.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to line number two. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I have a question.
All righty.
I have a garden kit to test my pH, and I haven't used it yet, but if my pH is not high enough, does that tell you what you need in your garden?
Yeah, well, one of the great things is if your pH isn't high enough, there's basically one thing to use, and that's lime. And now there are a couple of different varieties of that you can get. There's the hydrated lime, there's the pelleted lime, there's the powdered lime, and then there's really what is, I think, the best products to use are the kind of refined lime products that are out there now, kind of like the Magical that is much faster acting.
Yeah, it used to be you put lime down, you'd have to wait months for it to really introduce itself into the soil, make a difference in your pH. But with the Magical, not only is it more powerful, it's more it activates a lot quicker in the soil.
Okay, well, if I put pellet lime down now and then till it later, would that help?
That would help, but you know, that pellet lime, especially if you're not going to till it in till later, it's going to that pellet lime typically takes about 3 months to get active. So if you put it in now, it'll start working in May. Which for a vegetable garden, you know, is
for a vegetable garden.
Yeah, I mean that's a good time for it to start kicking in. For, you know, things like tomatoes and cucumbers and squash and beans, you know, the real warm weather things, peppers. But if you're going to be putting earlier things in, like broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage and lettuce and peas, radishes, some of the spinach, the cooler weather crops, you're going to want it to start working a little bit sooner than that.
Another thing to remember is that the Magical lime will do the equivalent of about 10 bags of the regular pelleted lime.
Right, you don't need anywhere near as much.
How much lime would you put on maybe a 50 by 50?
Well, all that's going to depend on, you know,
the pH level,
where your soil test comes back at, you know, how much it's going to take to get the pH up. Typically, on regular lime, you're looking at about 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet to bring the pH up one unit. So in a 50 by 50 area, you're looking at about 100 pounds to get it up one pH unit. In other words, take it from 5 to 6 or from 6 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
But
it should be about a 7 around here, shouldn't it?
6.5 to 7. Just slightly on the acidic side for most things, including a good vegetable garden. So, you know, if you're looking at 100 pounds of regular lime, you're looking at
40 pounds for the other.
Well, about 5 or 6 of the Magical. It's much, much less. And
can
over
lime it?
Yes, you can.
You can.
You definitely can, because then you get your pH up too high, and then you start running into problems from having the soil too basic. Start running into, particularly on some of the things like spinach and some of your other greens, you start having iron deficiency that shows up. And it's not because there's no iron in the soil. It's just that at those higher pH levels, it's bound up chemically in the soil into a form that the plants can't get. The plant roots can't absorb it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
And that's an excellent thing to bring up right now is if you're planning on putting in a vegetable garden, it's a great idea to go in and start thinking about doing some soil testing now. Find out where your pH is. Find out what some of the other nutrient levels are in the garden, so that when it comes time to plant and you're doing all your soil preparation, you're tilling and everything, you can amend the soil with those products that's really going to give you the soil that you want and a good healthy soil to grow your plants in. So the healthier the soil is, the healthier your plants are going to be, the better your yield is going to be. So start thinking about that now. And you're able to, again, like we were talking about before with the equipment, getting equipment repaired in anticipation of spring. If you wait till it's time to start tilling your garden up and everything, everybody else is sending their soil samples in too. So it's, and if you're sending it into a lab, which is really the best way to go, you're going to be waiting a lot longer to get those results back. And then it's, you know, even longer before you can get out to the store and get what you need. So if you're thinking about doing that, do it now so that you're able to take advantage of kind of the downtime and be ahead of the rush and get things back a little quicker.
We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070. We'll be right back.
I kissed her and she kissed me.
And welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. I'm Corbin Snow.
I'm Norm Carlson.
And we only have about 6 or 7 minutes, so if you'd like to join the show, please get your phone call in very quickly. Again, that number here live in the WINA studios is 977-1070. As long as we're on the theme of getting things done earlier in the season instead of waiting until spring is fully sprung, waiting till March, April, and May to kind of avoid the lines and avoid the wait, is starting to think about your mulch needs for for the upcoming season.
That's right.
And thought we'd just talk just for a few seconds about that. It's a great time to go ahead and plan, calculate how many cubic yards of mulch you might need. And we have a couple tools that can help you on our website in calculating that, where you just go out and measure the length and the widths of your garden, which will give you a square footage. You plug those numbers into our calculator, our mulch calculator on our website, and it'll tell you exactly how many cubic yards you need to order. It makes the process a lot easier. And then also on our website, we have about 20 different bulk products.
That's right.
That you can order on our website. So you can go down. There's a picture, a great photo and picture of the product, as well as a description and the price. And you can just scroll down and hit how many yards you need of that product. It'll tell you after you use our calculator. And you can put your information in and submit it, and your order will be complete.
That's right.
It's that easy.
Right. And, you know, we've got what? Double shredded hardwood, pine bark, the red dyed mulch, black dyed mulch,
brown dyed mulch,
brown
this
dyed
year.
Mulch. We're going to add this year. We've got a chipper grade mulch, which is kind of a rough mulch to use, you know, just an area where you want you know, something to cover the ground, or works excellent for pathways in the garden as well. In addition to that, we've got topsoil, we've got some fill soil, we've got what. About seven different kinds of gravel. The gray
Have I told you lately that our mulch is true double shredded hardwood mulch? Don't settle for ground up pallets and stumps, Norman.
That's right.
Because you're gonna love my mulch. Let's go to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. I didn't get the interviewer there. Thought I wasn't going to get through. But good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you this morning?
Good. Question about American boxwoods. I've got some. I spoke with you earlier last fall. I've got some great big ones, and I'm trying to reduce them a bit in size. And I've done some deep pruning prior to the real cold weather, and I want to do a little bit more, but I was concerned about getting a little bit too far into this spring, although I know we're not quite there yet, but feels like it today, as to whether or not I could still do a little bit more pruning, or am I too late to be doing that?
No, this is a great time to do it. In fact, you know, we're just coming into the season for doing real severe pruning. Like if you were to, you know, maybe later on in the process after they've had a chance to flush a little bit inside, and you want to go ahead and take them down. Dramatically, we're coming into the time when you'd be thinking about doing that. So this is a great time to come in there and do some more of that deep pruning and really open the plants up and you know, get some light and air moving down into the interior.
Okay, that's great. I was living with a misconception on that. I thought with boxwoods, that's my understanding. Years ago, you know, people collected them or pruned them for Christmas wreaths and that sort of thing, and that you were only supposed to prune them in the fall. So obviously that was incorrect thinking on my part, so I'm glad to hear what you've just said. Secondly, I heard you say that this is a good time to get down Grubex. I've got some of that, so good on that. I did a lot of seeding, grass seeding in the fall, and it came out, I did very, very well with that. Missed some spots. How long should I put off before I put down some more grass seed just to try to fill in some of those spots?
I would probably wait to the first part of March, you know,
okay.
let temperatures rebound a little bit. You're going to get a lot quicker germination by waiting till, you know, March. And also kind of remember that's when, you know, a lot of your weed control product, it kind of coincides that same time frame if you're putting down crabgrass control and broadleaf control. So that can be a little bit tricky in a timing scheme to make both applications. You know, if you're trying to get your lawn more established and control the weeds all in the same application.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your good service. I listen to you every week if I can.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate that.
Appreciate you calling.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
The other, you know, another, just to kind of throw another thing out there, too. One of the things that a lot of used to be a fairly common practice years ago was actually doing some frost seeding. And that's, you know, if you've got some open areas that you want to cover going out, you know, this time of year, particularly like right before a snow or something like that, and throwing down a little bit of seed to fill in some of those bare areas. It's not going to come up right away.
Right.
In fact, it may, you know, with the kind of temperatures that we're having now, it'll probably be the 1st of March before you start seeing anything.
Right.
But
well, another thing you can do is you can mix in, I wouldn't use this as your only grass seed, but you can mix in a little bit of annual rye grass that'll give you a little bit quicker germination.
Right.
And then as the regular fescue comes on, it'll, you know, mix it maybe 3-1. Three parts fescue.
I'd mix it no more than about 5%.
5%.
Yeah, because that's one of the problems that happens a lot of times with, you know, one of the drawbacks of using annual rye is that comes up so aggressively that
it fills in and kind of chokes out the good fescue.
Exactly. So you want to go real sparingly. It's a cover. It's a
right.
Like a little bit of a nursery crop,
right,
so to speak, to allow that fescue to come up. But if you go too heavy with the annual rye, it predominates.
That's all you end up with.
Right. And then come June, your lawn dies.
Which I've seen that happen many a times.
Yep.
That's the old builder special right there.
That's right.
Oh, look at this great lawn my builder put in for me.
Contractor's blend.
Contractor's blend. Yep. That's what
run.
It's.
Don't see that? Run. Don't walk. Run away from it.
If you'd like to, I guess we're out of time for more callers. So don't call us anymore.
Not this week, anyway.
I'd like to remind you, you can follow us on the World Wide Web at snownose.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Snow's Garden Center. Thank you so much for joining us this week on another edition of the Snow Nose Garden Show. Come out and see us at the Garden Center at 1875 Avon Street. We're out of time. We'll see you next week on the Snow Nose Garden Show.